KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
It is now 32 minutes after 2 o'clock, and you got on KHUM Radio Without the Rules, and Delia's here. Hello.
Hey, Larry. How's it going?
Now we can hear you.
Hello.
See, that was actually my fault.
Okay.
Isn't that odd? You probably have never seen a slip up like that, but every once in a while,
never
does happen. Well, let's go. It's time for Coastal Currents. Get our music going there. Isn't it soothing?
It is so soothing.
It's
had a hectic day.
Just all of a sudden, all of the tension is gone.
It is gone. We're here. It's great.
It's like a massage. Thank you to the sponsors of Coastal Current. Thank you, Coquetad, very much for sponsoring this segment. Thank you to Bayside Garden Supply. And a big, giant thanks to Solutions on the Plaza as well for sponsoring Coastal Currents. And we have a very special guest. I'm really happy to be joined on the telephone by Professor Emeritus Lori Dengler from HSU. Hi, Lori.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It is truly and literally our pleasure. So we're really happy
yes,
to have you here.
Yes, thank you.
You have written a book, and that's what we're talking to you about today. Tell us about the book.
Well, this is a children's book. I never had any intentions of writing a book. As my colleagues would slave over their academic tomes, I said, not for me. But sometimes a story falls in your lap that is so special and so extraordinary that you just have to go with the flow or go along with the current, so to speak. And this is the story of the small boat that beached in Crescent City on April 7th, 2013. And we were able to link it to a high school in Rikuzen, Takata, Japan, and definitively identify it as one of the items that was swept away by the March 11th tsunami.
Can you tell us a little detail? I'm curious how you were able to identify it and trace it back to its place of origin.
That's a really a good question, because there have been thousands of potential tsunami debris items found. NOAA has a tsunami debris website, and over 2,000 reports have come in of possible debris. Of all of those sightings, only about 60 have been definitively linked to having been in Japan on March 10th and having been swept away by the tsunami. How do you identify something? Well, it has to have some kind of identification markers. And it turns out boats are one of the best types of items to be able to link back, because they have registration numbers on them. And Japan keeps very good records of their registrations. So if there is a registration number on a boat, it is relatively straightforward to be able to figure out where it came from. This particular boat had the registration stickers that clearly showed it came from Iwate Prefecture, one of the three hardest hit areas of Japan. But in addition to the registration number, it also had painted on the side the characters Takata Chocho, which means Takata High School. And it turns out I visited the town of Rikuzen, Takata, and saw the high school about 6 weeks after the tsunami. I was part of a post-tsunami field survey, and we spent about 10 days going to the hardest hit communities in Miyagi and Iwate prefectures. And I went, sorted through my thousands of photos, and sure enough, there was a picture of the school with its blue roof about 6 weeks after the tsunami. At that time, I had no idea that I would ever end up with this very different connection to the city of Rikuzen, Takata. So the process by which items are identified, if anyone finds something on the beach that you think could be related to the tsunami, NOAA has a tsunami debris site that you can actually send an email to, And as I said, the overwhelming majority, it's impossible to link. I mean, if a plastic bottle has Japanese characters on it, there's no way of knowing if it was swept in by the tsunami or trash thrown off of a Japanese fishing boat or some other kind of source. So basically, the boat had both the characters on the side that linked it to the high school and the registration number.
But that must have been a kind of a strange experience when you identified the place where the boat had come from, and it was this place that you had visited, you know, in the past.
It was incredibly strange. I mean, I was, my colleague and I, Troy Nicolini of the Weather Service, and I and Sherry Costanzo of the Department of Water Resources, we were called as soon as they had found this boat, and they asked us to come up and take a look. In fact, Cindy Henderson, who's the emergency coordinator in Del Norte County, called Troy and said, "You guys have got to look at this." And so we drove. It was found in the evening of April 7th. We drove up the next morning, and here's this little 21-foot boat that is absolutely covered with gooseneck barnacles. And these are the barnacles with really, really long necks. At first glance, it looks a little like spaghetti. And if people want to get a sense, I mean, certainly you can see the illustrations in the book, but you can also go to our website, which is humboldt.edu/camome. That's C-A-M-O-M-E. And we have lots of photographs of the actual boat. So it was clear that this boat had been floating in the water for a really long time, because you don't get a foot and a half long neck on a gooseneck barnacle in a day or two. I mean, it takes a long time to grow that big. And so at first it was just, you know, kind of a curiosity. But then when we were able to actually get the confirmation, and we got two types of confirmation. One was the official process in which NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, contacts the Japanese consulate with the information, and then slowly over a period of 3 weeks, they get the official confirmation. About 2 days after seeing the boat, I remembered that I'd been following the city of Rikuzen Takeda ever since I'd been there. I'd been following the recovery on their Facebook page. So it's one of the things, I'm very interested in the issues of vulnerability and recovery. So I was sort of actively following what was happening in that particular city. So 2 days after we found the boat, I just posted a picture on their Facebook page that said, "These characters say Takeda High School. Do you recognize this boat?" And 2 hours later, I get a response saying, "Yes, we know that boat."
And the power of social media.
And suddenly, I just got goosebumps up and down my spine. I mean, it suddenly became so very different than this sort of curiosity, this sort of interesting object on the beach, to not only connecting it, but to a place that I had been. And I've visited Japan 10 times, 3 times since the tsunami, 7 times before. I have very close ties to colleagues in Japan. It's a place that I know, that I'm very familiar with. And so it was not my home that was affected, but it was certainly a place that I knew. And so, yes, it became far more personal at that point.
And it's almost like you were supposed to find this boat with all your connections. And then another remarkable thing and the really heartwarming part of the story was what you did after you found the boat with some of the high school students, right?
Well, and this, I've got to really give the credit to the high school students. I mean, again, this whole story, if somebody had written it out as fiction, you'd go, this can't possibly happen, because there are just too many points along the way of extraordinary coincidence. You know, the fact that I had been there was certainly one of them. But after we identified the boat, nobody knew quite what to do with it. Certainly the city of Rikuzen-Takata had no ability to bring the boat back. And I think had I not made this personal connection with the person who was running the Facebook page, who turned out to be my now co-author, Amia Miller, her whole story is amazing as well. But had we just allowed the official wheels to turn, what would have happened is they would have confirmed the boat and they would have said, no, nobody wants it back. Because here's a city that's been 90% destroyed. The last thing they need at this point is a piece of tsunami debris. I mean, that's how you'd sort of look at it at first glance. But this group of Del Norte High School students, quite on their own and sort of independently of me, decided that, hey, it would be a really good idea to raise funds and send the boat back, you know, when they learned that it belonged to a high school. And, of course, Crescent City is a tsunami-vulnerable community, and, in fact, the only death outside of Japan in that tsunami occurred near the mouth of the Klamath River, very close to Crescent City. So Crescent City lost their harbor in the same tsunami. So there are all these levels of connection. And so these students started cleaning the boat, and they put together a little YouTube video, and we have a link to that video on the website. And when the people, and particularly Amia Miller in Rikuzen-Takata, heard about this, she was really struck by what a wonderful gesture it was. And she recognized the really important, symbolic importance of this boat. There's been a number of boats found, and there have been other items that have been linked, a soccer ball, a motorcycle of all things, but all of those items belong to individuals. And as an individual, it's not something that is going to have symbolic importance for a whole community. This boat is arguably the single most important piece of debris because it belonged to a public entity. It belonged to the high school. And so Amia recognized that. She was able to work with organizations in Japan and the U.S. to ultimately help fund the return of the boat. She was able to convince the people in Rikuzen-Takata that, yes, you really do want this boat back. And that began the process by which this exchange between Crescent City and Rikuzen-Takata began. And so after the boat was returned, the high school invited some of the Crescent City kids to visit. And so in February of 2013, six Del Norte High School students traveled to Japan at basically the guest of the government. I mean, they had this, you know, official visit. They went to Rikuzen-Takata. They met with the high school kids there. They saw the boat. And the last thing they did is they were formally received by the U.S. ambassador to Japan, who happens to be Carolyn Kennedy.
Wow.
So
wow.
Pretty extraordinary that this group of, you know, 15 to 17-year-olds from Del Norte County end up at a formal reception by Carolyn Kennedy. And then in January of this year, a group of 14 Japanese students visited Del Norte County. And right now, we just learned 2 days ago that the U.S.-Japan Foundation is going to fund another group of Crescent City kids to travel to Japan probably early next year. So it's just an amazing, amazing story.
That's so cool that the story continues, that this relationship is still going on.
Absolutely. As I say, this voyage, the extraordinary voyage, continues and continues. And it's this boat just kind of makes everybody smile. I've had experience with a second boat. there was a boat, a very similar boat that beached near Dry Lagoon in June of last summer. And that boat we traced to a fishing family in Miyagi Prefecture, and they definitely did not want the boat back. And so that boat is still at the Weather Service office in Eureka. And for the last 2 years, we've had it on display at the Humboldt County Fair. And it's been really interesting to me to see how people respond to this object. I mean, we've been doing exhibits at the fair for 18 years. And I have a really good feel for how people respond when they come in the room. They look at the posters. They might grab a couple of pieces of literature and they leave. Well, since we've had the boat there, they come in and they immediately want to come up in and touch the boat. And then they'll walk all around the boat. As I say, this is not the same boat, but very similar. And the way people sort of respond to it. And then they'll immediately start talking to the person who's standing next to them. It could be a total stranger about, gee, did this boat really come all the way from Japan? And then they'll look at where the rope was ripped off, and you can really see how this boat was yanked away from its mooring. And the same thing was true of Kamome. And there's something about an object. In fact, sociologists have a word for it. It's called a social object, that people, a broad swath of people can relate to and connect to. And it breaks down social barriers. And we've certainly seen it with the boat that we have here, and definitely have seen it with Kamome.
If you're just joining us, this is Coastal Currents, and we're talking with HSU geology professor Lori Dengler, who, along with her co-author Amia Miller, has written a book called The Extraordinary Voyage of Kamome, A Tsunami Boat Comes Home. And Lori, we're running a little bit low on time, but I wanted to ask you to talk a little bit about the artist who has made such beautiful pictures. I'm going to post this up at khum.com after we get done with this so folks can take a look, but I'm looking at the PDF preview, and the illustrations are just extraordinary.
Absolutely, and I like to say that this book has three mothers. Certainly, Amia and I got it started, but it's really Amy Uyeki, who is a wonderful Arcata artist, who basically took our idea and ran with it and created these absolutely beautiful illustrations in a kind of Japanese woodcut style. There are examples on the Kamome webpage. We also have a Facebook page with a number of those examples. So if you just search for Kamome boat, all one word, you'll find the link to that.
Yeah, it really is. Really is beautiful. And where do we get our hands on a hard copy?
Well, this is also an interesting learning curve. This is the inaugural publication of Humboldt State University Press, which didn't exist prior to this semester. It's available right now at the HSU bookstore. It's also available online, and if you go to the humboldt.edu/Kamome, you'll find a link. It's currently available at Northtown Books in Arcata, Eureka Books in Eureka. But I'm hoping that over the next couple of weeks, we get it much more broadly distributed. And if anyone listening has a retail outlet that's interested in carrying the book, they should call our message line, 707-826-6019. Again, that's 826-6019, and I'll be glad to talk to folks who are interested in carrying the book. I do want to note that this initial printing was made possible through very generous donations from the Desert Community Foundation and also the Humboldt Area Foundation. They're providing copies for every second and third grade class and school library in Del Norte. And in Humboldt County, we're providing copies to all of the second grade classes as well. And all of the proceeds go, this is a not-for-profit project, And the proceeds go to continuing to support the exchange between the two schools and to earthquake and tsunami outreach.
Wow. That is so amazing. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Thanks so much, Laura, and congratulations. It's just everything about this just feels really good. So
it is. It's a feel-good story, and it's real, and we should all be happy, and I hope everyone takes this story and runs with it, because it's a really, it's a story of innate goodness and kindness. And thank you again.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. That's Lori Dengler, geology professor at HSU. And again, the title of the book is The Extraordinary Voyage of Kamome, A Tsunami Boat Comes Home. And Kamome is spelled K-A-M-O-M-E. And that's the key phrase to Google if you want to take a look at this right away. And as I said, I'm going to post some stuff up at khum.com. And there'll be some photos and excerpts from the book as well. Nice. Good job.
Thank you. I think I feel a little better after doing that.
It really is a nice,
so heartwarming.
It really is a nice story. And it's cool how, you know, this physical object came to sort of represent so much more and connect these communities that are so far apart. So it's cool.
Yes.
All right. That's Coastal Currents.
This has been a KHUM production. For more information, check out khum.com or search KHUM in iTunes.